It's Tuesday and time to read from your emails and web comments. Layoffs are often the last resort for many companies. A week ago, we talked about some other options companies use to cut personnel costs, and we got this email from a listener named Nikki, who seems to have been subject to them all. My company has laid off workers, cut salaries, and is not matching 401ks, and added 16 unpaid days for the year. The difficult thing is the workload. We're all doing two or three jobs. There may be many mistakes, and once the company picks up, there will be a mass exodus. And we were in the groove a week ago with our conversation on retro talk, the words and references we old folks use that leave younger generations clueless. And many of you came along to drink the Kool-Aid and sent in terms like above the fold, hooked up, and 8-track, another term that made the cut, decoder ring. Ralph Kies, who literally wrote the book on retro talk, told us there was really no such thing as a decoder ring. Many of you emailed to agree with me when I said I thought I remembered them. But maybe what I misremembered is this scene from the movie A Christmas Story.
Now it's time for any secret message for you members of the secret circle. Remember, kids, only members of any secret circle can decode any secret message. Remember, Annie is depending on you. Set your pins to B2. Here is the message.
The key word there was decoder pin, not ring. There is no evidence of secret decoder rings, and if you think about it, rings would have been too small for all those letters. There were badges and pins, and when Ralphie decoded Annie's message in the movie, it said, be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? A crummy commercial? Son of a bitch.
The movie got it wrong there. The secret messages were not commercials. And another correction, when we talked about the way President Obama and other politicians use different language to address different audiences, a caller brought up a moment in the campaign when she said Mike Huckabee did the same thing. Many of you wrote in to point out that it was not former Governor Huckabee who talked about bling bling, but former Governor Mitt Romney. And finally, back in November 2007, we did a show on the subject of selling organs. During the conversation, a caller named Joey told us that he once considered selling a kidney, but now finds himself on a long waiting list for a kidney transplant.
My best hope, since I really don't have a familial donor, is to wait for some kid to kill himself on his street bike and, harvest the parts. It's difficult, but someone else has to die so that I can live.
That caller stuck with another listener, Charles Rickert, and he decided to do something about it. Last July, he donated one of his kidneys to a 10-year-old girl in Montana. It's what's called a non-directed donation. It was anonymous. He never met the recipient. Chuck Rickert joins us now from his home in St. Louis, and it's nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, it's nice to be on the program. Thanks.
And not a lot of people do what you did. Tell us, what happens once you make the decision to donate your kidney to someone you've never met?
Yeah, so the decision was made shortly after I heard your show, and then I looked into the risks regarding non-directed organ donation. The risks appear to be very small. In fact, the living kidney donors actually have lower mortality rates and lower rates of kidney failure than the general population. And this is due in large part to the rigorous screening process that they require for donation.
And that rigorous screening process involved psychological testing, too.
They want to make sure that your motivations are sound, that you're not doing this out of any coercion or out of any sort of delusional ideas, correct?
Why did you decide to give your kidney to a stranger?
It was really kind of a simple decision in that the risks were low to me and the benefits to the recipient are very large. The average living kidney donation lasts for around 12 to 15 years. And so that provides the recipient with a rather normal lifestyle as opposed to spending those years on dialysis.
We know that the recipient is a 10-year-old girl in Montana. She was born with a disease that would cause her kidneys to fail. You do not get to meet her. You had no decision in choosing who got the kidney. In some cultures, though, if you save someone's life, you're responsible for that person's life.
You know, there is perhaps a special bond here between me and the child who received my kidney. But the goal of the program are to ensure that there's no feeling of obligation on either part, and that it can be just a single act of kindness without any strings attached.
Would you be interested to hear what happened to this girl, what she does with her life?
I would be more than interested to know how she's doing and how she does throughout her early adolescence year and into adulthood.
Chuck Rickard, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you very much for your interest.
As always, if you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.